Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from SIRI, an Alaska Native corporation with operations and investments spanning 5 continents, 45 states, and 2 U.S. territories.
The investigation, we've exhausted all leads that were presented to us as far as outside of the state, outside of the country.
Anchorage police asked for help in 2 cases, including one that involves a missing child. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Thursday, May 5th. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, tuberculosis cases surge in the YK Delta amid a nurse shortage.
I have never had such very low capacity and then like a surge of TB.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Everyone knows eating fruits and veggies promotes a long and healthy life. It's important to make every bite count. Alaskans are lucky to have greens and berries from the land, as well as fresh, frozen, and canned. When it comes to living a long and healthy life, remember, every bite counts. This message sponsored by USDA SNAP Ed.
Anchorage police say a man who went missing nearly 6 years ago and whose body was just discovered last summer was the victim of homicide. And now detectives are looking for his killer. Jose Guadalupe Gonzalez was 46 in July of 2016 when police say his coworkers reported that he had not shown up for work. According to a police statement at the time, Gonzalez's employer said he'd never missed a day of work and his family was concerned because it was unusual for him to lose contact with them. In the summer of 2021, Alaska State Troopers recovered human remains in Turnagain Pass, south of Anchorage, and early this year, the remains were identified as Gonzalez. That's according to an Anchorage police statement today announcing Gonzalez's death is now considered a homicide. Detectives are looking for help from anyone with information on Gonzalez's disappearance or death, especially anyone who has not already talked to police. Tips can be given anonymously at anchoragecrimestoppers.com. And Anchorage police say they've exhausted all leads and are reaching out to the public for information on a child who went missing more than 9 years ago. Police officials say they're trying to find Deshaun McCormick, who was 6 years old, when his mother, Jasmine McCormick, last saw him in spring 2013, before returning to her home in the lower 48. Shortly after Jasmine's last contact with her son, Deshaun's biological father and guardian, Floyd Lee Jr., was arrested with his girlfriend by the FBI on unrelated charges. Officials say Deshaun should have been living with Lee, but there was no indication that that was the case when Lee was arrested. Police say Jasmine petitioned a Palmer court to get custody of Deshaun after Lee's arrest, which was granted in December 2013. Speaking at a press conference today, Detective David Cordy said authorities were not able to locate Deshaun to place him with his mother.
The FBI did considerable work in the investigation to try to locate Deshaun, and the Anchorage Police Department became involved in this investigation. 2014, Patrol Division started the investigation, and it moved to the Investigative Division in 2017, at which time I was assigned as the lead investigator on the case.
Cordy says the department has worked with various agencies in the lower 48 near family members of Deshaun to try to locate him.
The investigation, we've exhausted all leads that were presented to us as far as outside of the state, outside of the country.
Lee has since been released from prison, and Cordy says he's cooperating with investigators. Cordy says there's no specific reason for the renewed push to find Deshaun beyond the continuing desire to return him home. APD's call for information on Deshaun coincides with a push from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They released a video Thursday with a message from Jasmine.
I'm still here. I haven't given up. I'm still looking for you. I didn't give you away. I didn't give you up. Mommy will go to the end of the earth to find you.
Anchorage police are asking anybody with information on Deshaun to contact them. He would be 14 years old today. According to the center, Deshaun is one of a dozen children reported missing in Alaska, with the earliest case from 1973 and the most recent from 2021. Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson is asking the city clerk for a long list of records tied to the 2022 municipal election. He says it's in response to complaints he received from election observers and will help improve election security in the future. But some are questioning why the city should spend more time on a closely watched election that's already been decided. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan has more.
Bronson submitted the six-page request last Friday. His inquiry follows complaints from election observers of conservative candidates who Bronson supported and who largely lost in the election. And it comes amid a nationwide trend of conservatives questioning election results in the wake of former President Donald Trump's defeat in 2020. Already, the Anchorage Clerk's Office has responded to dozens of questions and complaints about the recent election, including several about a technician servicing a voting machine during ballot counting. The city's election commission called any concerns with the election, quote, fairly minor in a report. Lauren Lehman is the vice chair of the commission and was appointed by Bronson.
You know, if he can ask the questions, he's going to get the same answers that we got, I think.
A written statement sent by Bronson's spokesperson, Corey Ellen Young, said the request would help improve future election security and public trust. In bold at the bottom of each page of Bronson's request, it says, quote, disclaimer, Mayor Bronson and his administration are not questioning the results of the election, end quote. But downtown Assemblymember Chris Constant says that's disingenuous, and he thinks the mayor's request is a cynical political move that promotes unfounded allegations about election fraud.
The Election Commission certified the election, seeing no problem with it. So again, it's this big fake news machine supporting the big lie. This is Dave Bronson doing Donald Trump's work in Anchorage, Alaska.
Among the records Bronson is asking for are emails, text messages, and other notes. Plus, he wants the clerk's office to answer a list of questions about the delivery of ballots, election staffing, and what kind of pens and markers the scanning software identifies. He says his office will pay for an out-of-state third-party company to do an audit of the city's election technology. Jamie Hines is acting deputy clerk of elections. She says the clerk's office is still evaluating the request and will need to consult with attorneys.
We take public records requests very seriously, and it's the vast size of this request is just going to take us some time to determine the method and timeline and the scope of the response.
The mayor's office did not respond to further questions about the nature of the audit or how it intends to pay for it. Bronson has previously been critical of the city's election process and has proposed turning the city clerk's position into an elected office. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
Today is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Awareness Day. A group gathered in Juneau this morning. Some held signs that said Indigenous Lives Matter and Break the Cycle and the Violence with hashtags Not Forgotten and MMIP. Jenny Brown is a behavioral health aide at Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska and an MMIP advocate.
We are at the wetlands in Juneau at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're out here for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Awareness Day.
Brown was there for personal reasons, too. Her cousin Linda has been missing since 2016. The supporters had red handprints on their faces. Jamie Ann Sahl in Hasselquist works for Central Council's Department of Public Safety.
The red handprint signifies that we won't be silent anymore. And it's also believed that red is the color that the spirits can see. And so when we wear red, we're calling them and they can hear us and know that we're still looking for them. We haven't forgotten them.
In the afternoon, supporters gathered at the Capitol and marched to Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. There, a lineup of speakers addressed the marchers, including Ann Sears, Alaska's new statewide investigator for missing Indigenous persons. Four candidates in the running for the U.S. House special election will meet in Bethel tomorrow afternoon. The forum is open to the public and sponsored by Bethel Native Corporation. The candidates planning to attend are Sarah Palin, Emil Nadi, Tara Sweeney, and Mary Peltola. Anna Hoffman is the president and CEO of Bethel Native Corporation and co-chair of the Alaska Federation of Natives. She says the four candidates approached Alaska Native leaders in Bethel about holding a forum on rural issues in a rural area. She says that she'll ask questions about topics important to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
We're going to talk about the salmon crisis in the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers. We'll also ask about a national security the other item that we'll talk about is rural health care, education, public safety.
KYUK Radio will broadcast the event live on kyuk.org. There are 48 candidates running for Alaska's open U.S. House seat. Hoffman says she hopes this forum will inspire the other candidates to come to Bethel during their campaigns. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, recognizing the signs of eating disorders in young people.
They were like, oh, you're eating more vegetables. That's great. You're taking control of your health. That's awesome. They didn't know why I had begun this quote-unquote health journey.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Everyone knows eating fruits and veggies promotes a long and healthy life. It's important to make every bite count. Alaskans are lucky to have greens and berries from the land, as well as fresh, frozen, and canned. When it comes to living a long and healthy life, remember, every bite counts. This message sponsored by USDA SNAP Ed.
Ketchikan's borough mayor pledged on Monday to veto a roughly $1,600 grant to a local nonprofit organization focused on providing education and support to LGBTQ people. Ketchikan's Borough Assembly greenlit a wide range of grants to community nonprofits totaling nearly $390,000. The Ketchikan Pride Alliance told the borough's grant committee that it had hoped to use the money to hold events, create a website, and gather data on Ketchikan's LGBTQ community. But Borough Mayor Rodney Dial said he was concerned that by granting money to the organization, the borough would be funding a political cause.
We're now taking and funding a new organization that a lot of people in this community would not want us spending our tax money supporting what they see as a social justice issue. And so I felt that it was a divisive thing for our community.
Ketchikan Pride Alliance Vice President J.D. Martin says the grant would fund three events, the organization's annual Pride picnic in late June, plus two other outings. Martin takes issue with Dial's claim that the group is inherently political. She says the nonprofit's 501c3 status under the federal tax code prohibits it from weighing in on political issues.
Nothing that we produce is political in nature. And that's also very intentional on our part. We think the idea that LGBT people and our identities are inherently political is not correct. We are just people.
Martin says LGBTQ people come from a variety of backgrounds and hold a wide range of political beliefs. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation is dispatching health teams to multiple villages in the YK Delta this month to test school-age kids for tuberculosis. That's because case counts are trending above average this year. As Emily Schwing reports, tuberculosis is already difficult to diagnose, and that's been further complicated by the coronavirus and the repeal of a state law that required in-school testing.
Teresa Polkin is the principal at the school in St. Mary's Village on the lower Yukon River. And last month, one family let her know a student had tested positive for tuberculosis.
We decided that it would be best for all our students in our community to do a school-wide test.
That in-school testing effort turned up a second case of tuberculosis, or TB.
We would have never found out about that positive case if we didn't get YK into the school.
Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services ended statewide in-school testing for TB in order to comply with national guidelines. The CDC no longer recommends in-school testing for TB because the agency says it's not an efficient way to track down active cases of the illness. According to the state, in-school testing didn't turn up any cases between 2014 and 2019. But Evelina Ashe, the nurse manager at Bethel's Public Health Center, says she's found cases on the YK Delta with in-school testing.
It seemed to me like when we went out to the communities and to the villages and testing the schools, we always found TB cases.
But what's noteworthy this year is that cases are trending above average. That's according to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. The organization is working with school leaders. Teams have already visited three schools. They're trying to complete testing before schools close at the end of the month. The coronavirus pandemic has complicated the effort to track and treat TB. At the Public Health Center in Bethel, 8 of the 9 full-time nursing positions are unfilled. Evelina Ashe says nurses are burned out. There's currently only one traveling nurse who manages TB cases in the region.
I have never had this before where we had such very low capacity and then like a surge of TB. And it's like, since we're like losing so many nurses, it's even harder for us.
TB is already a difficult thing to diagnose.
Michelle Rothoff is a family physician with Alaska's tuberculosis program. She says the pandemic delayed medical care for some people and diverted resources away from public health that would otherwise be available to combat TB.
I've seen some estimates that it's kind of set back the global fight against TB by about 10 years. I think that's true in Alaska as well.
Tuberculosis is caused by a bacteria that targets the lungs, but it can affect other parts of the body. And this is where things get complicated. You can test positive for tuberculosis if you have an active case, which is contagious. There's also a latent form of TB.
So the bacteria is in the body, but it's in kind of a dormant state. So it's not causing any symptoms and it's not infectious to others. And people can remain in that state for years to decades to their entire lives.
The state only reports active cases of TB. And in 2020, there were 58. However, an additional 287 people were treated for latent TB. This year, Evelina Ashe at the Bethel Public Health Center says in-school testing has already turned up between 30 and 80 cases in the region. But it's unclear how many are active. And that uncertainty is why St. Mary's School Principal Teresa Paulkin says she'll continue to support testing in her school.
I think it's very important, especially being in a smaller community where everyone is so close-knit and in close contact with each other at school and at home.
The incidence rate for tuberculosis in Alaska is nearly 4 times the national average. Health officials are urging people throughout the YK Delta to report all cases of TB. It's also important to follow a full course of treatment if you're diagnosed with any form of tuberculosis. In Bethel, I'm Emily Schwing.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
The Alaska State Library Talking Book Center has audiobooks and more for children and adults who are unable to read standard print. Learn more at talkingbooks.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Library Network.
Alaska employers, did you know there is a no-cost, no-deductible way to bond at-risk employees, including ex-offenders and individuals recovering from drug addictions, even when your own insurer will not provide bonding? Information about Fidelity Bonding is available at your local Alaska Job Center or toll-free at 877-724-2539. Fidelity Bonding through the Alaska Department of Labor is 100% federally funded. This is an equal opportunity program. This message sponsored by the Department of Labor.
Moving a used gondola system from Austria to Juneau's ski area is going to cost a lot more than initially estimated. On Wednesday, the Juneau Assembly narrowly approved spending an extra $500,000 to bring it to Juneau and awarded the transportation contract to Linden Logistics. Through much of the gondola purchasing discussions, Mayor Beth Weldon has been noncommittal. Wednesday's meeting was no exception.
Since we now seem to own this gondola, what happens if we don't pass this ordinance?
City Manager Rory Watt responded.
We would be in a very difficult position, having spent a lot of money to purchase and own a gondola on another continent without the funds to move it. So I don't exactly know what we would do. I cannot think of a good outcome.
The city had solicited contracts to store the gondola in Europe for potential resale, an option the assembly wanted in case it decided to abandon the project, but no one bid on that contract. The mayor ended up voting yes. Eagle Crest ski area officials asked for $2 million to buy the used gondola system in February, outside of the assembly's normal process for prioritizing competing requests for big-ticket projects. Eagle Crest's general manager described it as a rare opportunity that would save millions compared to buying new and shave years off of a goal to expand summer operations. People are significantly more likely to recover from eating disorders if medical providers or loved ones notice the problems early on, but many go undetected. Organizations across Alaska are trying to increase awareness of the issue so that people can find help faster. Reporter Ann Hillman brings us this story.
Sasha Guerra takes pride in her heritage. Her mom is from Russia and her dad is from Mexico. She's fluent in Russian and so-so in Spanish. She loves her sister.
I think I lucked out in the sister department.
And plans to study music in college this fall. But when Sasha was in middle school, she worried a lot about fitting in. People made comments to her about her body, which affirmed her thoughts about herself.
I was not beautiful. I was not interesting. I was not funny. And I was not loved.
These feelings stuck with Sasha for years. Then, in the summer of 2020, she started restricting her food intake and following an extremely rigid food plan. At first, her family was supportive.
They were like, oh, you're eating more vegetables. That's great. You're taking control of your health. That's awesome. They didn't know what it was rooted in, and they did not necessarily understand why I had begun this quote-unquote health journey.
Sasha's family didn't realize she had an eating disorder until Sasha already had serious physical symptoms, like losing her hair and no period. And that's a common problem. People don't know enough about eating disorders to detect signs of them early, and doctors don't usually screen for them.
One of the most important things is to identify an eating disorder early before you get the complications.
That's Rachel Lesher, a pediatric endocrinologist with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. She says that by the time she sees young people with eating disorders, they've already started having serious medical problems. The number of eating disorder diagnoses is rising nationally, but there isn't good data showing trends in Alaska.
We know that eating disorders are a lot more prevalent than is being diagnosed. And that is being recognized. We know that eating disorders can affect people of all genders, all races, all income brackets, all education levels. It's not kind of the stereotypical after-school special that some people think of.
Lesher says it is possible to detect problems earlier if medical providers ask some basic questions, like, have you restricted what you eat in the last 6 months in order to lose weight? Or have you done something to change your body image? Those can be signs that providers need to dig deeper, especially with adolescents who typically shouldn't be on diets. Family members and friends can also learn to notice signs of potential eating disorders. Beth Rose is the co-founder of Alaska Eating Disorder Alliance, or AKEDA. She's both recovered from an eating disorder and supported people seeking help. Her organization is helping educate people about eating disorders. She says, if you see that someone's relationship with food is taking over their daily lives, it's important to gently start a conversation about their actions in a non-judgmental way.
I notice there's a lot of, food missing in the pantry, or I notice you're missing these meals, and I notice you're also, not seeing your friends, or that you're having problems with school, or you're not turning in assignments, and there's some things going on. How can we talk about this?
When Sasha started looking unhealthy, her family noticed, and they helped her get support from a dietitian and a therapist. Sasha says she still struggles some, but she looks at food and the role it plays in her life much differently now. She's mindful, but not rigid.
Maybe I'll try cooking it in a new way, and then just like enjoying the food that's on my plate, and afterwards thinking, do I feel satisfied? Could I go for more? Usually the answer is, yeah, I could go for ice cream right now.
AKEDA is offering free training opportunities with an eating disorder specialist in May and June. Some are meant for family members, others for medical providers. In Anchorage, I'm Ann Hillman.
And AKEDA is offering a free training for families on Saturday, May 7th. You can find out more on our website, alaskapublic.org. Well, a bone marrow transplant is a life-saving procedure for people with blood illnesses or cancers. But for Alaska Native and mixed-race people, it's harder to find matches because they're underrepresented in the donor database. As KTOO's Claire Strempel reports, advocates are hosting a drive next week to connect an Anchorage 6-year-old with a matching donor.
It's been almost a year since Tasha Newbill found out her 6-year-old son, Tiberius, has cancer. It was the week after his last day of preschool. She got his results in the afternoon and was on a medevac flight less than an hour later. You can't get the care he needs in Alaska.
I talked to a social worker for 10 minutes, and by 3 o'clock, we were in an ambulance on the way to Anchorage Airport, and by 3:30, we were wheels up on our way to Seattle, and we've been here ever since. So we literally walked out of our life with 10 minutes notice.
Since then, he's had more than 100 transfusions. He's gone through a lot of chemotherapy. His mom says he's also careened around the hospital halls on a quad bike at high speed and collected a lot of Yoda stuffed animals. And after an experimental stem cell transplant, he had a brief remission, but relapsed this February. So now the family is hoping to find a donor for another transplant. It's harder for Tiberius to find a match than it is for other patients. He's Black, white, and Inupiaq.
Most oftentimes people find donors of the same ethnic heritage as you. And with Tiberius being such a unique mixture, there's no one on the registry for him. And there's currently 4.1 million donors registered worldwide. And there was no one who matched Tiberius.
Alaska Native people make up less than 1% of donors. Newbill and her husband are only a half match for Tiberius. Most people who need a transplant don't match perfectly with their relatives, which is part of why there's a donor registry. Christy Youngblood is hosting a donor drive in Anchorage next Monday.
Well, to join the registry, you have to be 18 to 40 years old, meet the health guidelines, and be committed to saving anyone's life.
She's a lymphoma survivor herself. Now she's a volunteer with Be the Match, a nonprofit that connects patients with donors. To get tested, all you need is an oral swab. She says being a donor is also pretty simple. Most of the time, all you donate is stem cells. Youngblood compared the process to donating blood or plasma. Less than 20% of the time, they need actual bone marrow.
And it's not as bad as it sounds. They surgically remove it from your hip, and it kind of feels like you fell on the ice. You're back to normal activities within a day.
The group is hoping to find a match for Tiberius. And his mom, Tasha, wants to boost the number of donors for other patients who need blood that's underrepresented in the registry.
It's really important we get people who are minorities or are multi-ethnic to join the registry because, you know, we are becoming more and more common in this day and age. I'd like to think and believe that society is changing and is becoming more accepted of interracial marriages and children. And, you know, I like to think of Tiberius as the future.
Tiberius just started a month's worth of chemotherapy to reduce his cancer to get ready for the stem cell transplant, if his family can find a donor. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. We had reports tonight from Wesley Early, Lex Trinan, and Ann Hillman in Anchorage, Yvonne Crumry, Jeremy Shea, and Claire Strempel in Juneau, Olivia Eberts and Emily Schwing in Bethel, and Eric Stone in Ketchikan. Our audio engineer is Tobin Shelby, Katie Anastas is our producer, and I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
First National Bank, Alaska, celebrating 100 years of helping Alaskans shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
Planning today for a gift down the road builds a legacy of support for the media you treasure. Thank you for considering this public radio station in your estate planning. You can talk to your financial advisor or contact your public radio station to learn more. This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.